Well, okay, if you were with us before, we've done two chapters in 1 Samuel. And remember that now little Samuel lives at the temple. Eli, the priest, Eli's sons, who were sons of the devil, which is not a good thing, that's a bad thing, you'll recall. His sons were doing things that shouldn't even be spoken of. They were doing them in public. The temple prostitution was going on the steps as you walked into the temple. You would step over individuals. That's what Samuel's mother carried him into. It is hard when we talk to each other about our problems. It is hard not to look at each other and say, oh, what a wimp. When we see the suffering that the men and the women have been through in the Bible. You know, we have cars, and they had to walk or ride animals. And ooh, do we whine when we have to pay insurance. Whew. Lord, nobody knows. I mean, it's so hard. It is so hard to be us. Not thanking Him for the car. Complaining that the headlight is broke. And that they push the thing down and the car doesn't stop. We've got it tough, don't we? Life is hard. Or maybe we really need to rethink it. Little Samuel, the child Samuel, the Bible says, in that kind of atmosphere, an atmosphere where you would not raise your children in, Samuel's mother gave him over in there, trusting God. How is it possible that this woman had such trust in God? I believe it didn't happen the first day she stepped out into trusting God. I believe it was a learned process where she would daily walk with Him and begin to take steps of faith. And she grew, just like I believe you and I should be doing. Stepping in faith, trusting God. People look at you and sometimes say, oh, I wish I had your faith. You know, everybody that's been walking, usually, it's rare that I've ever heard anybody in Jesus Christ, I've heard a few, but it's rare when that person says, oh yeah, it was 20 years ago God let me down. Have you ever heard him say that? Isn't that rare? When I meet people who have been walking with the Lord, I met a man who had been preaching for 77 years. He was 93 years old when I met him. And for 77 years, everything he had to say about God for his whole 77 years was positive. God has never let me down. Did you ever go hungry? Yeah, quite a few times. Through the depression and all. Was it ever hard? Oh, yeah, it was terrible. There were times when I didn't think I was going to live. Did God ever fail you? Not once ever in my 77 years of preaching. Now, there are people sitting around you who've been walking with the Lord for years. Ask them. Have you ever stepped out in faith and did God let you down? I think you'll be impressed when they tell you, He has never let me down. I've gotten wet. I've gotten filthy dirty. I've got the air knocked out of me a few times, but He has never let me down. He has always come through. And I think Hannah knows it. And so here we have little Samuel. Now Samuel's going to grow up. Matter of fact, he has grown. The child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. That means under Eli. Now when you see the word child, understand that this is not a little baby anymore. Probably late teens. That's what most commentators believe here. When we see, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord, the child now is someone who is probably somewhere between 17 to 20 years old. So those of you who are 17 to 20, you're just a mere child. You couldn't go to war. You remember Leviticus. You couldn't go to war if you were under 20. It just wasn't allowed. You couldn't do it. Men wouldn't go to war until they were 20 and over. The Levite, if you were of the tribe of Levites and you were going to work, tribe of Levi, and you're going to work in and around the temple, you did not begin your service until you were 25. If you were going to be one of the priests actually inside the temple, you didn't begin your priesthood until you were 30. And here, Samuel, probably late teens. He's ministering to the Lord. That means, in our language, he works at the temple. Remember, he was given as a baby, probably somewhere around 3 years old, brought to the temple, given to God's work full-time. Full-time. Here is Samuel. He's going to stay here the rest of his life and work for God. That's what he's going to do. And now, as a young man, you and I would call a young man, the Bible calls him a child, he is ministering to the Lord. Now, here's something for those of you who are really serving God full on. He doesn't know God. I cheated. I read a few verses ahead. He does not know God. He serves in the temple, but he doesn't know God. I know people who go to church who are not born again. But they go to church, and they do things at church. But they don't know God. Well, this is the background. The child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, under Eli. Eli's the priest. Samuel is being raised in the temple to serve God. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Well, precious. The word we would use today would be costly or prized. The word was precious. It was costly. It was very prized in those days. Why? Because there was no open vision. No open vision means no divine communication. God didn't have anybody to talk to. Eli was disobedient. His sons were out of control. And remember, God rebuked him in the last chapter and said, I can't believe that you're not stopping your sons from doing this, and because you will not discipline them, I'm dumping the whole lot of you. Now I'm paraphrasing. King James says something a little nicer, but what God says, I'm finished with you. Won't have any, if you won't. So parents, I don't think it's Ritalin that's causing kids to shoot up schools. I just don't believe it. I don't think that it's demon possession either, like some people have been teaching on the radio lately. I think in the last days, perilous, dangerous, evil times will come. Children will be disobedient to parents. People will be fierce. That means violent, violently out of control, beastly. I think somebody's parents didn't do their job. And I see a generation of children growing up that throws tantrums and gets away with it. Do you understand what would happen had I thrown a tantrum? I wouldn't be here today. We laugh. But how many of you can say that? Had I acted the way some of you do, my parents would probably have not let me live. Just cut off his oxygen for 5 minutes, that's all. They would not have let it be. Where in the world have we gone wrong? And we blame it on drugs and demons. When God says it's flesh, it's works of the flesh. I don't think you should beat your children severely. I don't think that that's the answer. But I do believe that that's why God will not use Eli or his sons anymore. And so, the Bible teaches that the Word of God was precious because there was no divine communication going on. No open vision. Have you heard the scripture that says this? Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's quoted very often. And so people come to me or to other pastors or to other ministries and they'll say, tell us what your vision is. Well, what do you mean? Well, without a vision, the people perish. Your ministry won't grow if you don't have a vision. That's not what the Bible says. Let me read the rest of the scripture to you. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. When it's talking about where there is no vision, the people perish, it means where the Word of God is not being communicated clearly. When there is no divine communication, people die. My people die for lack of knowledge, God says. What the Bible is teaching us is while little Samuel, young Samuel, is growing, working in the temple, he doesn't know God, and nobody really knows God too well, it looks like, because there's no divine communication. The Word of God was scarce in those days. You live in them. Did you know that? You live in them. You can go to church and not hear the Word of God. It's true. You can go to different places and sit there and they're the nicest people, but you don't hear the Word of God. The Word of God is scarce in the United States. The Word of God is scarce in Africa. The Word of God is scarce in Israel, right in Jerusalem. Some places you're not allowed to even have it and have it open, as I found out. So those of you who do have the Word of God and you're holding on to it, read it as often as you can. Read it every day. Because the Word of God is scarce in your time. And it's precious. It's prized. It's costly. It's worth a lot. The Word of God is precious. Just as it was in those days. Now Samuel doesn't know God. It came to pass, verse 2, at that time when Eli was laid down, it was late at night, in his place, his eyes began to grow dim. He couldn't see. And so that the lamp of God wouldn't go out, it says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. So, because Eli couldn't see what the priest would do, and this is Eli's job, where are his sons? I don't know. Probably out doing something else wrong. Stealing, cheating, lying, working in the ministry, out there making a living. But we have little Samuel. And since Eli can't see, you can't let the candle go out. And so someone would have to, even if it was in the middle of the night, oh, God forbid, you mean lose sleep? Someone would have to keep an eye on the lamp to make sure it didn't go out. And they would have to put oil in. Because, you know, it wasn't a wax thing like you're used to now, candles. It was an oil lamp, and you would continue to pour the oil. And as it burned down, and before the oil was gone, you would refill it to keep that light burning in the, there to represent God and the presence of God. And so, because Eli couldn't see it, he lay down to go to sleep, but he knew he couldn't see well, so he has Samuel doing it. Why doesn't he have his own children doing it? Because they don't want to. Samuel, dedicated to God. Eli says, someone's got to do it. So it's Samuel's job. Young man, Samuel. And he laid down to sleep there. Well, it came to pass that the Lord called Samuel out loud. God called him. And Samuel, hearing the voice, having heard God before, God's voice, Samuel said this. He said, I'm right here. Here I am. And he ran to Eli. He said, here I am. What'd you want? You called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. You're probably dreaming or something. Go back and lay down. And Samuel probably thought, man, I thought I heard it. Oh, well, go back and lay down. It was God who called him. Samuel doesn't recognize God's voice. And the Lord called yet, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 6, and the Lord called yet again. A second time God called. And he said, Samuel. Samuel got up, ran into Eli, and said, I'm right here. What do you want? You did call me. Eli said, I did not call you.
I don't know what your problem is. You're hearing things. Go back to sleep. You're bothering my sleep. God's called him twice. Just like God calls you. I think there's an age of accountability. I think the Bible makes that clear. I just don't know what that age is. I do know that you couldn't go to war under 20. So is 20 that age of accountability? You couldn't do your Levite work until you were 25. It's 25. Couldn't be a priest until you were 30. It's 30. Samuel's probably under 20, somewhere in his late teens. And it looks like for him, it's time to become accountable. I don't know where you're at, but sooner or later, God's calling you. Sooner or later, you're going to have to become accountable. And answer. And deal with it. How many times is God going to call Samuel? How many times will he call? I do know that God will call so many times and then stop. I'll read it to you in Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, of that without remedy. You read about Mr. Goebbels, I think that's how you pronounce it. If you remember Nazi Germany and Hitler's crew, the man who ran some death camps and made sure that the propaganda was what it should be, and when they were put on trial finally for the atrocities, a pastor spoke to that man, said, "You need Jesus Christ," and that man says, "I'm not interested." And the pastor would come and visit and say, "You know, Grace, they're going to put you to death for all that you've done, but there is another life. You can have eternal." And you know, he continued to say, "Not interested. When I die, it's over." Well, his daughter had died already. And he says, "Don't you want to possibly have the possibility of seeing your daughter again?" "Nope, she's gone, and that's just tough. That's just the way it is. When I die, I'm finished. That's the way it is." And they would daily tell him, "Jesus Christ is the answer." And he refused. And one day they came to his cell, and I know you know this because you remember history. He had committed suicide. No hope. See, he that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You hear, and you hear, and you hear, and you say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm doing sort of okay." Well, you need to listen to the Lord your God. You need to pay close attention to what He's saying, and you need to do what He says. All of us need to do that. That's important. That takes life. That takes the Holy Spirit. Now, little Samuel here has been called twice. He runs to Eli. Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." Well, the Lord called Samuel in verse 8 a third time. God called a third time now. He got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you did call me. I heard you." And Eli, as quick as he is, finally figures out what's going on. It says Eli perceived that the Lord had been calling Samuel. It's God's voice that's been calling. So Eli said unto Samuel, notice an interesting statement, "Go back and lie down, and it shall be if he calls again." Samuel doesn't know that God's going to give him a fourth time. "You go back now, Samuel, and lay down. And if he call again, you shall say," just lay there and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Eli said, "Sam, what is your problem, kid? I didn't call you. You did call me. I heard your voice out loud. I know it was you." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's God. God's calling you. Go back and lay down. And if he calls one more time, just simply lay there and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Doesn't that sound like a smart thing to say? How many times will God call? Some of you are in disobedience. You know it.
And you've known it for quite a while, and others have sort of pointed it out to you. You can tell there's something wrong. You're walking and there's something bothering you. You know it is, but you don't do anything about it.
How many times is God going to bring it out?
Remember, God is not mocked. We always want to listen to Him. When He says something to me, I should just be quiet and say, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening."
You know, I think one of the saddest statements in the Bible, one of the saddest, is in Acts 26, verse 28. Paul has been preaching his heart out. And King Agrippa says to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian." Isn't that a sad statement?
"You have spoken so well, I've almost gotten saved. You almost convinced me." "Well, you haven't convinced me, but missed it by that much."
What a statement. Because that may be the last time he ever gets to hear it again. "You almost convinced me or persuaded me to be a Christian. You're speaking so well. The things you're saying amaze me so much, I almost got saved myself."
Boy.
And here's a statement that I got from, Mr. Ironside. It was quoted by someone else, but I think it's Ironside. And I like it. It reminds me about me. "Jesus Christ saved one thief." Remember there were two thieves, one on each side? "Jesus Christ saved one thief that men need not despair. But He saved only one that men would not presume." I like that. He saved a thief to show you there's always hope. But He didn't say both. The other guy wasn't interested, so that we wouldn't presume. "Oh, I'll always. There'll be another chance. Samuel, go back and lay down. And if he calls again, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Smart, wise answer when God calls you. Don't complain. Don't tell him how your car's not running. Don't tell him how the electricity in your house is a little rough. Because, see, I know all kinds of places where they don't have electricity in their house. And you know why? They don't have a house. The world is suffering tremendously. It really is. And after I've been there and I come back here, I don't mind that I have a house. I don't mind it at all. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. But I'm reminded not to complain about my house and my cars and my shoes, because the people don't have shoes. And I say, "Mine feel funny." And I think, "Oh my goodness. When God has given me everything," and I even remember praying it this morning, "God has given me everything and I still am able to find something to whine about. I don't like the color of my shoes. You know, Reeboks don't fit as well as Nikes." And the rest of the world goes hungry. And I'm complaining about the grease at Taco Bell. When the rest of the world starves, God is not mocked. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Is God going to call one more time? You know, in Samuel's case, He does. But I think that's why we begin to presume. Eli said to Samuel, "You go lie down," verse 9. "Shall be if he calls you. You shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went, laid down in his place. Now, if Samuel had been one of Eli's kids, Samuel said, "I'm not going to lay down, old man. What are you going to do about it? You can't see anyway. You're going to try to catch me? I'll just run." Can you imagine the disobedience to their own father that caused those children to be dumped by God? That's going to be the message in a moment. I don't want disobedient kids around me. I won't have it, he says. Well, the Lord came in verse 10 and stood And he called as at other times. I believe he's calling Samuel to salvation is what he's doing. And he calls Samuel twice. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." God said to him, "Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle."
Samuel, I'm going to do such a great thing that it's going to sound like someone taking a large hammer and banging it against a bell to make their ears just ring and shake, is what the language says here.
What is that thing he's going to do? I'm going to perform against Eli what I told him in chapter 2. I am going to perform. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house.
God says, I told him what would be, and I am going to do it. God has told you and I, this will be the consequence of disobedience. This is what will be should you take this route. Some of us have taken the route and look at the consequences. We're so surprised. Lord help, how did I get here? Oh, Mr. Wizard! You put yourself, many of you, because of your disobedience, in the position you're in today, and you're miserable. And you wonder why you're miserable. And if you'd like out of the misery, it doesn't take 45 minutes of counseling. It doesn't take 30 seconds. It takes repentance and a clean heart, pure heart before God. Speak to me, Lord, for your servant hears. Don't explain to him why you're being disobedient. Just say, Lord, I confess to you, I'm not doing what you've told me to do. I'm not saying what you've wanted me to say. I'm not being what you've wanted me to be.
When you say that to Christians, you say, how come you're being this? What are you doing? Well, and there's excuses. There are always excuses. Some are outstanding. They're good.
But they don't work, but I mean, they are good, aren't they?
Well, it's the woman you gave me, Adam said.
What are you doing, Adam? Well, that girl. You gave her to me. So it's like God's fault, right? The dog. It's the dog. It's not me. Everybody else around me is weird. If you worked where I worked, you'd disobey God too. And there we go. Instead of just saying, you know what, Lord? Your servant is listening. I confess to you. You know what? I just need to listen.
Instead, we're telling him why. God doesn't want to know why. I think he knows why. I think he's told us already. And so he says, you know what? I want you to hear this. I'm going to do something in Israel in which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Keep in mind, God isn't mocked.
When God starts something, he says, when I start it, I'm going to finish it. God does that. When I begin, I will make an end.
And he's speaking in what the Bible college people call prophetic tense.
When you read, sometimes you read prophetic tense, meaning God is saying something is that hasn't happened yet.
God speaks of things that have not happened as if they already were. That's prophetic tense.
God talks about you and I walking with him in eternity. And he says it's for sure. It's done deal. Yet you and I are still sitting here. Yet he speaks prophetically.
That's the way it is. When God starts something, he finishes it. When I begin, he says, I will also make an end. Speaking of things that have not happened as if they already were.
God does that. He has started something in your life only if you've been born again. And so I want to encourage you to become tonight obedient to him. There are many things I have to do that do not feel good. There are many things in my life I have done that did not feel good. If I were basing whether to do it or not on how it felt, it would not have been done. I was just with a group of men just a couple of weeks ago. We did things that did not feel good. It makes you feel very, very miserable inside. You can't, I can't explain to you how it feels. You know what you're doing is dangerous, but someone has to do it. You are not doing it because you feel like doing it. The feeling doesn't control what you do. When God says to me, you go tell someone that they're off the wall, I don't like the feeling. I don't like what it's going to bring back to me. But I have an ability now to say, you are off the wall. I've developed it. You have to. Sometimes someone needs to tell you, you're weird. That hurts my feelings. You'll get over it. It's not your feelings we're thinking about at this moment. You do it in love, but there are things that must change in my life, and they're not based on how they make me feel. Do you understand that? Samuel is going to do something tomorrow morning that is not going to feel good at all, but he's got to do it. I think this shows he's a man of God. Sometimes you're going to give your life to God and you're going to say, I need to commit to you. And it's not going to feel good. It's going to hurt your feelings. It's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to make your friends not your friends anymore. You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose, sometimes, face. But if you want to be with the Lord your God, if you're looking for the joy and the peace that He promised, you're just going to have to say, I'm just going to have to hurt for a while. I'm just going to have to feel stupid. Trust me when I tell you, you get used to being in a feel stupid mode. I've worked in it a long time now. People say, is it hard for you to get up in front of people? No, not anymore, because once you've made a fool of yourself this much, who cares anymore? There is nothing that matters. And I've been up in front of people all my life. And I will tell them whatever it takes. I tell them stupid things about myself. They laugh at me and they think, that guy is such a weird... But if it helps that they can see themselves. I tell a story, and one of these days I'll tell it when we get there, about an ugly girl. Ugly. I mean, if a flock of birds flew by, she would point. And the women think that's the grossest thing to say. And the men laugh. But at the end of the story, everybody understands because they see themselves. And it's embarrassing to tell it sometimes. But you know, if your Christian walk is based on how you're feeling, I'm going to tell you right now, you have a poor walk with the Lord. If you want a strong walk with God, sometimes it feels great. Sometimes it feels a little funny. Sometimes it hurts and makes you feel miserable. Go for it. He says, when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the sin which he knows about. And he's known about it all along. The word means that he has known. Because his sons make themselves vile, and he does not restrain them. Look, mom and dad, the children are in trouble, but the parent gets in trouble too. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. There is no way I will change my mind. I am through with the house of Eli. I told him it would be. He's known all about it. And now I'm going to carry through on it. While Samuel lay until the morning. That means, in our language, he laid there after hearing what God had to say. Samuel's heard directly from God. Now you speak because your servant hears. Now he's heard something and he loves Eli. Do you understand that? That's his dad, sort of. That's who's raised him since he was about 3 years old. Now he's near 20. He loves him. And didn't make him feel good. Now I can't even sleep. That you're telling me you're finished with him and I love him. And see, Samuel can't sleep. It makes him feel bad.
Samuel lay until morning. And of course, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord.
And Samuel was afraid. Not afraid that Eli was going to hurt him. He hurt for Eli. He feared to show Eli the vision.
Think about it. I'm going to have to tell Eli. I know he's going to ask me. I know he's going to ask me. And when he asks me, I'm going to have to tell him what God said.
Now, God said Eli already knows. But still, would you want to be carrying that message around? Hey, I heard from God last night. Really? Out loud? Yeah, what'd he say? You're in trouble, dude. You know, you'd love it if you don't like the person. I know Christians who, I got a word of the Lord from you. Curse God and die. But what if you really cared about the person? And you come up and say, you know what? Lord's telling me he will not use you. The Lord is telling me he's finished with you. It'd be a tough message to give somebody, wouldn't it?
And so we have little Samuel here. Eli calls him in. He knew it was coming. Now Samuel's not feeling so good. Hasn't really slept good the rest of the night. Not feeling so good. Here's his chance to say, I can't remember what he said. He said something about your boys and they're not really doing well. But, you know, it's not a big deal. And don't you worry about Eli, because we know you're a neat guy. And no, you see, can you imagine had he watered that message down like you and I talk to each other? That would have been disobedience, I think. So Eli calls him in. Samuel, my son, he answered, here am I. He said, well, what is the thing that the Lord told you? I'm all ears, practically. Tell me what you heard. I pray you, don't hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me out of the things that he said to you. Tell me everything he said. I want to hear every word. No, you don't. Yes, I do. Oh, no, you don't. I better go fast and pray. I don't know if I could just... What if he were like us? What if he were? I need to talk to you. But it's going to take 45 minutes. No, man, it's going to take 2 minutes. God's finished with you. But if he were like us, well, better pray about it, and I need to fast, and I'll talk to you Thursday, but till then, I just can't look at you. Oh, man, do we need some strength. Tell me everything God said. Don't hold back. I want to hear it. Samuel told him every whit. That means every bit, every word. And hid nothing from him. Samuel is under the authority of Eli. When you have an assistant pastor and you have a pastor, that assistant needs to tell that pastor all. If he can't, then he can't assist and he has got to go away. If you have a wife and a husband, that wife needs to reverence and submit to that authority. If she can't, there is no house there. It's divided. It's headed for destruction. It's not going to work. Samuel, submitted to Eli, has got to tell him the truth. It's going to be hard. It's not going to feel too good. And if little Samuel's basing his ministry on how he's feeling this day, if it's a bad hair day for Samuel, he's not going to do it. And I really think this is a powerful lesson to you and I. Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is... And Eli said, it's the Lord. Now there's a man there that's interesting. Samuel, everything you're telling me, God's already told me. Remember, God told him in chapter 2. Eli knows all this. He said, it is the Lord. Let him do what pleases him. Or, I'm sorry, what seems good to him. Do you... Let me read that. Maybe that's not in your Bible. Is that in your Bible? Let me read it again. Eli said to him, that's the Lord. Then Eli said, let him do what seems good to him. Do you notice, or is it just me? Do we have a lack of that in the church today? God says, I want you to do this, Bob. Oh, you couldn't possibly. That'd be too hard. Couldn't be. Go. Instead, this man goes, that's the Lord. And if he wants to destroy my family, and that seems good to him, then let him do it. Isn't that an interesting statement? If God wants to throw me in the trash, and it's for his glory, then let him do it. Whatever God wants to do with me, with my family, with my friends, with this ministry, whatever he wants to do, let him do it. I don't know, but do you see a lack of that today in the church, or is it just me? I'm afraid that's why the church is where it's at today. I'm afraid that that's why where we're at, we don't have the strength. Because we're not wanting to obey. We're wanting to feel better. Books in Christian bookstores teach us how to feel better about ourselves. Teach us how to eat better, how to sleep better, how to communicate better with one another. When the Bible has specifically already told us these things. And we've got psychology that's come in and it's trying to make us all feel better and look better. And instead, somebody sooner or later is just going to have to go, you know, I'm crucified with Christ. Whatever he wants from me, whatever he says. For the rest of my life, I am his. What if it's uncomfortable? Then I guess it'll just be uncomfortable. This light affliction will be but for a moment. What if you don't have money? You won't need it when you get to heaven. Oh, what if you can't get a job? What if? You know, don't worry. What if he really is God and he can do anything? He will take care of me. He will take care of you. He loves you. He loves you. He's wanting to care for you. But he wants my heart and he wants your heart. Samuel says, this is what he said. Eli said, you know what? Whatever seems good to him, then let him do it. And Samuel grew, the Bible says. And the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel became a man of God. Notice, you cannot be loyal to God and disloyal to the one God has placed over you. I think the young women in this ministry, in this church, ought to listen to the older women and respect them. I just think they should. I think the young men ought to listen to the older men and respect them. Listen to them because they have gone on before me. There's something they can teach me. But to do it, I got to place myself below them. And that's why Paul's going to tell us in the New Testament, years from now, after 1 Samuel, submit one to another. Where we get our problems is when younger people begin to disrespect the older and won't listen. And you've got troubles. And once you've got that, you've got anarchy. You cannot be loyal to God and disloyal to the one God has placed over you. And that's why when you choose a church, you have to make sure that you can submit to the leadership of that church. If you can't, don't tear the church apart. Go get another one. So that it doesn't destroy ministries. Well, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. Samuel was willing to listen to God. And he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, top to bottom, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. God honored Samuel's obedience. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. God is starting a whole new thing. He was using the priests. And now God's saying, you know what? This isn't working out. You guys have been disobedient. Now he's going to begin to communicate to a prophet. Sort of like Moses. He's now going to talk to Samuel. The Bible says, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel had to do some things that just didn't feel too good. I don't know where you are. But I know that what you're asking God for is that he would give you that peace he promised. That's what you want. I know that. I know it because I see some of the prayer requests that come in. I know that you're wanting to follow God. You're wanting to hear from God. You'd like nothing better than just God to clearly communicate to you.
Tell me what to do, Lord, and Him just speak to you and tell you what to do. That's what you're asking Him for. If you want to get married, you're saying, show me which one to marry. And of course, those of you who are married going, are you sure? Are you sure? No, that's not true. Just joking. Do you really want to hear from Him? Do you really want to serve Him? Do you really want your life to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Then start now by getting everything out that doesn't belong. Lord, I confess to you. Search my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the paths of righteousness. And speak to me clearly. Let me hear you when you speak. Speak, for your servant is listening. If you begin to sincerely seek the Lord, He will be found by you. And He'll tell you what to do, where to go, how to get there. But you've got to be willing to listen to Him and by His power, do what He says to do. Let's bow our heads as we close. We'll praise God for just a bit. And when I think about Samuel, I see God use him. I see God speak to him. I see God use the fact that Samuel wants to be His. I think God will use you and me if we sincerely want to do what He says and want to be His. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Lord,